Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next hour, a NFL-heavy program. We'll get into some other things, but the NFL is at the forefront. Championship weekend. Boy, think about it. We only have three more meaningful games. That's a key word, meaningful games left in the football season. But again, Sunday should be a big-time day of NFL football. And, you know, I'm going through these games and kind of trying to look at matchups and looking at these teams. And, I had to ask myself the question, which one of these teams has the most to lose? Because that's kind of been like a theme for me in terms of these playoffs. Pressure, I've been on this for the past, for the entire playoff season, who's under the most pressure, you know, this team versus that team. And it came to me, like an epiphany, that it's not even close in terms of who's under the most pressure. I mean, put the Jets in the rearview mirror as far as that. The Jets are the feel good story. They're destiny's darlings of the postseason. Just happy to be here. I mean, don't tell them that. But they, I mean, the Jets lose 50 to nothing. Nobody cares. I mean, nobody's gonna kill the Jets for losing. The Saints, you lose home playoff games, and you lose home conference championship games in the playoffs. You lose home playoff games; it could be difficult. But it's not like, again, it's not like the Saints were expected to win a Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. Still, would be a quality season for them to get this far. They've never hosted a championship game. Remember that. Indianapolis, obvious choice. Peyton Manning blowing 16-0. You know, how many more years do they have at this level? No New England, no Pittsburgh, no San Diego now. So you can easily go there. But to me, the Minnesota Vikings have the most pressure, and this game is borderline, is basically a must-win for the Minnesota Vikings. Because when you think about it, they're not getting any younger, and I'm not just talking about Brett Favre. You know, Kevin Williams, Pat Williams, Hutchinson, Brian McKinney. I mean, the strength of their team is their defense and offensive lines. And this is a franchise that desperately needs a Super Bowl appearance. Another Super Bowl appearance. Remember, Minnesota hasn't been to the Super Bowl since going back to the Fran Tarkenton days in the 70s. They're 0-4 in the Super Bowl. They've been as consistent as any team not to win a Super Bowl outside the Philadelphia Eagles. They really have. I mean, the Vikings have year in, year out put together quality teams. But they've had some bitter moments in the playoffs recently in these championship games. Go back to 2000. They got where, at worst, they were a pick'em against the Giants. I mean, half the country was on Minnesota, the other half was on the Giants. I don't know, and coming into that game, they were a slight favorite, even despite the fact that the game was in Giants Stadium. And they get destroyed 41-0. 1998, 15-1. You remember it, Randy Moss, rookie season, Chris Carter in the prime of his career, Randall Cunningham having a rebirth. Robert Smith, at the time, set records for offense, had a very good defense, had everything going for him, everything. Atlanta in their home stadium, and they go down in the NFC Championship 30-27 in overtime. And to me, it was one of the most disgraceful championship losses I've ever seen. Because there's no way Atlanta, the Falcons, belonged on the same field as the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, and with all due respect to the Denver Broncos, who went on to win the second of their Super Bowls and repeating against the Falcons, Minnesota was the best team in football this year and that year. And, you know, the best team always doesn't win. That was a pure example of the best team not winning. It's Minnesota's time. It is now or never for the Vikings. They are the definition of a now team. I mean, Brett Favre could retire, 2 hours before the game to come back at halftime. I mean, he's so fickle with his, which is whether he's going to play or not. And that's the first story. If Minnesota loses this game, that's, you know, before even before the champagne in New Orleans' locker room dries, if they pop some champagne, probably before the uniforms dry off, that's the first question that's coming out of the reporter's mouth. Brett, are you coming back next year? So they, to me, it's not even close. I mean, think about it. I don't know what you're saying to yourself. Well, how could it not be close considering Indianapolis? Remember this about Indianapolis. Indianapolis has a guy. They know who's going to be under center next year, number 18. And for the last 7 years, Indianapolis has been no worse than 12-4. So there's a pretty good chance, based on the history, based on what Indianapolis has done over the last 7 to 8 years, that they're going to be 12-4, 13-3 next year and be right in the mix as a super legitimate Super Bowl contender. I cannot say that about the Minnesota Vikings. A lot can change between now and, say, 10 o'clock Sunday night. A lot can change. So, again, to me, all the pressure falls squarely on the Vikings. They have to get it done. Again, if they can't get it done this year, I don't know when they're going to get it done. I really don't. I mean, there have been rumors about Falk coming back if he doesn't win. We'll see about that. And even if he does come back, who is to say that Brett Favre is going to have another year like he did this year? He's 40 years old. At some point, he keeps playing year by year. He's going to, play like a guy who's 41, 42 years old. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Of course, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. And I want to hear from, I want to hear from the fans out here. You have a team if your team is still playing, in particular, what are you feeling? You're a Minnesota fan? Are you nervous? If you're a Jet fan, how confident are you? If you're a Jet fan, do you really think you can beat the Colts? If you're a Colts fan, again, similar to Minnesota, are you a little bit nervous? Are you afraid of that Jet defense? And if you're a Saints fan, are you confident based on last week's performance that the Saints are back where they were when they were 13-0 and knocking and killing people like the Patriots? So how do you feel? Again, this is not too many teams get to this point as far as conference championship. There have been teams, listen, the Redskins have been doing conference championship since 1991, okay? Not easy to get this far. So I want to know your feelings and your thoughts on that. Again, the phone number is 347-215-6180. Of course, I will have my picks, my conference championship picks, coming up right after we do an update, and also right after we do some NBA in terms of all-star selection. So we'll talk about that and much, much more coming up after this update, and of course after we do get into some NBA. 347-215-6180. Again, Cyril Quinn on Blog Talk Radio on this 23rd of January. 23rd of January, just 38 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Here is the update. ESPN.com reports that Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas should know how long he'll be suspended by, probably by the end of next week. Commissioner David Stern could announce suspensions to both Arenas and fellow guard Jarvis Crittenden as early as Wednesday. The New York Mets have traded for Los Angeles Angels outfielder Gary Matthews Jr. The Mets will also pay the remainder of Matthews' five-year, $50 million contract, which roughly comes out to about $21.5 million. And, of course, this contract was signed back in 2006. In return, the Angels will receive reliever Brian Stokes. In an ESPN interview, former Mark McGwire trainer Curtis Winslow claims that McGwire took a combination of performance-enhancing drugs that aided McGwire's performance. Winslow says that McGwire's goal was to be bigger, faster, stronger. What a shock. And, of course, this contradicts McGwire's claim that he took the drugs for health purposes. Sure, well, I mean, we knew that wasn't true. NBA scores two. You still have two games going on as of right now. Third quarter, Phoenix, Chicago leads Phoenix 85-83. Early in the fourth quarter, Golden State all over the Nets 88-65. Games already completed. Boston defeats Portland 98-95 in overtime. Kevin Garnett returns. Garnett scores 13 points, grabs 4 rebounds in 30 minutes of play. The Lakers take out the Knicks 115-105. Atlanta over Charlotte 103-89. Houston 116. San Antonio 109. Orlando 100, Sacramento 84, Philadelphia 92, Dallas 81, Miami 112, Washington 88, Toronto 101, Milwaukee 96, and Minnesota 90. Minnesota edges out New Orleans 96-94. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As I take you inside the NBA, a couple things I want to get to in regards to the NBA before we do NFL picks. Of course, the All-Star results came out in terms of the starters. Reserves will come out next week, next Thursday, I believe, and they'll be announced on TNT. And listen, for the most part, I thought the fans got it right, but let me get right to it as far as the pick that you cannot pick if you're a fan, and that's Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson has absolutely no business whatsoever on that team. I'm not asking him to not play in the game and to decline playing in the game. He's not going to do that, and he's not going to do that. He's already said it. Fans ordered him in, and I absolutely blame the fans. If you're a fan, you have to be. You know, you're given the right to vote. It's all about the fans. You have to use some common sense here. I mean, he's been in 10 games. He's been in 10 All-Star games. It's not like he's a guy who's never made an All-Star team before. I mean, how do you vote Allen Iverson in the All-Star game over the likes of a Joe Johnson or a Derrick Rose or even a Rajon Rondo? I mean, it's ridiculous. Look what happened to Memphis once they agreed to buy out Iverson's contract. They started out 1-8. Now they've been one of the highest teams in the NBA since then, since that poor start. That's not a coincidence. He's not he doesn't even belong on the same floor with the likes of LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Steve Nash or whoever you want to name, whoever else, Tim Duncan. I can go on and on and on. Doesn't belong in the game. And for years I've defended the fans. Hey, fans should have a right to vote. That should be it. Nobody else should be involved. Let the coaches pick the reserves. No problem with that. But now I'm kind of side with Kenny Smith now that the players should have that they should split the vote up three ways: fans, players, and possibly coaches. Because the NFL, splits the vote up three ways. Why can't it be incorporated in the NBA? And thankfully, fans had enough sense to vote Chris Paul and Steve Nash and Chris Paul over Tracy McGrady. That would have been even a worse disaster. McGrady hasn't even played three games this year. I can't defend you. I mean, you're a fan. You vote for Allen Iverson. I absolutely can't defend you. Can't. There's no getting around it. He's been MVP twice in the game. Again, he's playing a million All-Star games. Again, if he's like if he were like somebody like, I'm thinking like a London Fletcher in football, who had never been in a Pro Bowl and probably deserved to be in a couple Pro Bowls, or a guy who, I could see that. I can understand that. He was having an off-season, one of the awards for a Lifetime Achievement Award. Fine. But I can't. The guy's been in a bunch of All-Star games. And again, I can't defend you. If you're a fan, I absolutely cannot defend you whatsoever. And another thing about this All-Star voting about how these players are chosen, and particularly it's going to come out with the reserves. Too much emphasis gets put on winning. It's an all-star game. It's not the MVP award. Okay. If you have two guys who are putting up similar stats, both having excellent years, and you want the tiebreaker to be which guy's team is has a better record, fine. But if you have one guy who is clearly having a better year than the other guy, then individual achievement should supersede wins. It's not the MVP award. It's an all-star. It's about individual all-star. Think about it, all-star. If the guy's having a great year, he should not be paralyzed because the team's not winning. Put him on the team. As far as the rest of the NBA goes, of course you had the showdown on Thursday where Cleveland Cavaliers had a very impressive win over the Lakers. Listen, I was more impressed with that win than I was even with the one on Christmas night. That win, no Mo Williams. You had a Laker team, you spanked the Lakers on Christmas Day, so they came in with some motivation. And the Lakers play hard. But Cleveland's physicality really bothered the Lakers. And, last year, if you had asked me what would happen between the Lakers and Cleveland in last year's finals, I told you the Lakers would win easily in a five-game series, easily. This year, Cleveland has a legitimate chance of beating them. I mean, there's no getting around it. I still would favor the Lakers, and I still think the Lakers are the better team. But you have to give Cleveland more than a puncher's chance if they get that far. Again, there's no question that their physicality bothers the Lakers. The Lakers don't want to get their hands dirty. I mean, the Lakers are a finesse team. They're not a physical team by any stretch of imagination. They're not. I mean, other than Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, and say Ron Artest, that's it. The rest of those guys are highly skilled, but they're not a physical team. Cleveland has a better bench. They're motivated. But again, Cleveland's biggest concern is having to get through, again, Boston and Orlando. Both of those teams will be heard from before it's said and done. Especially if a healthy Boston Celtics team. They do not. Don't fall asleep on the Celtics or the Magic. I think the Magic are gonna turn around. Maybe they won't get as good as they were last year, but they're gonna play much better down the stretch. So if you're a Cleveland fan, you should be, pleased with the Laker win, but don't go too crazy. And I like what LeBron said. LeBron said, hey, not big, this is a big win, but let's keep it in perspective. They're still the champs. And he said all the right things. And he's right. It's a long season. It's January. But again, a very impressive win for the Cleveland Cavaliers. A couple of teams that I've really been impressed with. We get caught up in the big teams like Boston, Lakers, Cleveland, but a couple of these young teams. Now we talked extensively about Oklahoma City, what the Rams doing, what the nice nucleus they have. But Memphis, Oklahoma City, Memphis and Charlotte have been very impressive. Memphis. You remember, and you have to give them a lot of credit on how they built their team. They made the draft day trade to get Rudy Gay. They get rid of Shane Battier. They get they draft Rudy Gay, pick up Zach Randolph, draft O.J. Mayo, and you have three guys that can easily drop 30 on any given night. They're beating good teams. Again, they got off to a very slow start. Again, I cannot help. Not to beat on Allen Iverson, but I can't help to think that Allen Iverson had a lot to do with that. But they get off to a 1-8 start. Now if the season ended, they will be right there in the playoff mix, playing well right now. They're exciting to watch. Fans are into it, and it's a good story. It's a good feel good story for the NBA because that franchise, the whole Paul Gasol, and listen, you can say what you want. Lakers get Paul Gasol, Kwame Brown, which was a clear salary dump. But they did get a guy. They did get Mark Gasol in that trade, and Mark Gasol is averaging about 15 points and 10 rebounds. Mark Gasol, who is, of course, is a younger brother of Paul Gasol. So they, it's not like they got nothing out of that deal. They had to make the move because Paul Gasol was not going to re-sign with them anyway. So it was a, you know, they weren't going anywhere with Gasol, with him anyway. So that move is turning out to be a very good move for them. Of course, other people around there, and they are not happy for the Lakers getting Paul Gasol. But Memphis came out good with that move. Again, they have a nice young nucleus, and they're only going to get better. Charlotte, again, this is why Larry Brown is Larry Brown. This is the type of team that Larry Brown likes. No superstars. You know, a bunch of feisty, grinding out players. And don't discount what Steven Jackson has done. Steven Jackson can be a nutcase. I know he went to the stands with Ron Artest and, you know, made a fool of himself and really embarrassed the league along with the rest of the Indiana Pacers. But the guy is a pressure player. He's won a championship. And he's a guy who can get you 30 to 35 on any given night. He's averaging about 20 a game, and he's added confidence to that team, and he's really, you know, for all the negative things that are said about him, he's really taking on a leadership role with that team. Yeah, I give him a lot of credit. He deserves, you know, Gerald Wallace will make the All-Star team, and deservedly so. Gerald Wallace has been one of the few guys who has overachieved in college in the NBA while underachieving in college. Go figure that. But Steven Jackson is probably, to me, the biggest reason why Charlotte is where they're at right now, along with Larry Brown. Steven Jackson has been great for that team. So Charlotte playing well. Charlotte has been actually, since the start of the new year, Charlotte has been the best team in the NBA. Believe it or not. They've been the best team in the NBA. They're playing that well. So a lot to like right now in regards to the NBA. Again, the Iverson thing in the All-Star game here is a disgrace. It's nothing the NBA. I mean, yeah, nothing the NBA could do about this year. But that's something in the offseason that they have to look at in terms of changing it. I cannot defend the fans for making that choice at all. But again, overall, I think it's been a pretty good season in the NBA. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call: Conference Championship picks. It'll be the last time I pick more than one game. Oh, it was so sad if you're a football fan. Just, again, 3 games left. I can't believe it, but we're going to make the best of it with confidence with my conference championship picks. You might be surprised who I go with. We'll have that. And also, what's wrong with the Tar Heels in college basketball and why San Francisco Giant fans should be nervous. That and much, much more still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 3-0. I'm about to give away my phone number. So I'm tired. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, you can hit me up. Follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. Here is the update. ESPN.com reports that Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas should know how long he'll be suspended by the end of next week. Commissioner David Stern could announce suspensions to both Arias and fellow guard Jarvis Crittenden by as early as Wednesday. Of course, Arias remains on indefinite suspension. The New York Mets have traded for L.A. Angel outfielder Gary Matthews Jr. The Mets will pay the remainder of Matthews' contract, which is roughly will come out to about $21.5 million. The contract, of course, Matthews signed back in 2006 was worth 5 years at 5 years, $50 million. In return, the Angels will receive relief pitcher Brian Stokes. In an ESPN interview, former trainer Curtis Winslaff claims that Mark McGwire took a combination of performance-enhancing drugs that aided in McGwire's performance. Winslaff says that McGwire's goal was to be bigger, stronger, and faster. This, of course, contradicts McGwire's claims that he took the drugs only to aid in him getting healthier. NBA scores. Golden State, all over New Jersey, what a surprise this is. 106-75. Chicago leads Phoenix 99-91. Both those games are in the fourth quarter. Games already completed. Boston in overtime over Portland, 98-95. Kevin Garnett returns with 13 points and 4 rebounds after missing 10 games. in 30 minutes of play. The Lakers rebound against the Knicks, 115-105. Kobe Bryant leads the way for the Lakers with 27 points. Atlanta over Charlotte, 103-89. Houston, 116. San Antonio, 109. Orlando all over Sacramento, 100-84. Philly gets by Dallas, 92-81. Miami, 112. Washington, 88. Toronto, 101. Milwaukee, 96. Minnesota, 96. New Orleans, 94. Week number 20 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Conference championship picks on really the final legitimate day of the NFL season. Listen, the Super Bowl is an event. It takes all day for the Super Bowl to come. Think about it. Super Bowl doesn't get played. Super Bowl starts at around 6:30 or whatever. You have to wait the whole day. At least for the conference championships, you have to wait just about 2 hours longer. The first game, of course, Indianapolis and the Jets will kick off around 3 p.m. Remember, these games are rotated year by year. Last year, it was the NFC in the late in the early window. This year, the NFC will have the late window. Indianapolis is favored by 7.5, which to me is far too many points. The game is, of course, at Indianapolis. And listen, there are a lot of reasons why you would like Indianapolis in this game, okay? They have the Hall of Fame quarterback. They're at home. They were the most consistent team in football this year, basically. You know, really had a self-inducing slide with, you know, was giving up 16-0. It wasn't really a stretch of a close game where they weren't playing quality football. Coming, the Jets come in at 11-7. The Jets don't have the big time quarterback, have a rookie quarterback. The Jets are not an explosive offensive team, though they have a great running game. And the Jets have absolutely very, very little room for error. Rookie coach, well, both have rookie coaches. A lot of reasons to like the Indianapolis Colts. But here's why you might want to rethink that. Peyton Manning, for all his greatness, has struggled mightily against 3-4 defenses. The last 5 Indianapolis Colts playoff losses have came against teams playing the 3-4 defense, whether it be San Diego a couple times, whether it be Pittsburgh, whether it be New England. Okay. Indianapolis, despite their gaudy record, this is not a vintage Indianapolis team. It's not a big-time team. They've had this, to me, might be, out of all their teams, might be their weakest team as far as pure talent goes in the last, I would say, five or six years, which epitomizes the greatness of Peyton Manning, which is why he was absolutely the MVP. They cannot stop the run. Remember, last week people said, well, Baltimore, who has a great running game, only had 87 yards rushing. Well, you know, they had 87 yards on just 19 carries. They would have had more, but they had to throw the ball. They had to throw the ball a lot more than they wanted to because they were down 17-3 at halftime. So, you know, I'm sure if that game was a little bit tighter, they would have ran the ball more. The Jets have the best running game, rushing attack in football. Sean Green has been a monster through the first 2 games of the playoffs. They beat you up. They have a big time offensive line with first round picks up and down the board, up and down. Zaneca, all pro. Nick Manigault, arguably the best center in football. Their offensive line is the best unit. The Jet offensive line is probably the best unit playing this weekend. Not only against the Colts, but even as when you compare them to the Saints or the Vikings. That's the best unit playing this weekend. Colts have a very underrated defense. which, again, this game stays close, I can see the Jets offensive line wearing down the Colts. Despite the fact that I have every reason to pick the Indianapolis Colts, I'm going with the Jets. I'm going with the big-time defense. I've seen this before with these defenses. And listen, don't be fooled. This defense, I heard somebody say that this defense is not a great defense. This defense is a great defense. Are they on the level of the Chicago Bears, the 85? No. Are they on the level of the Baltimore Ravens, the 2000? No. But those two defenses were probably the two greatest defenses of all. Great job at disguising their blitz packages. Nobody does it better than what Rex Ryan does as far as disguising blitzes. You don't know where they're coming from. And they have an ability to not only come, they can blitz you and still have your receivers covered downfield. I never thought in the world, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago or last week if the Jets were to get to this game, there's no way I would have picked them in this game. There's no way in the world. But Indianapolis has had a propensity of losing big-time home games in the playoffs. I mean, let's look at the history. Let's look at 2005 with Pittsburgh. Let's look at 2007 with San Diego. I mean, so it's not like Indianapolis cannot be beat on their home field. I think the Jets will keep this game close. I think that what's going to be the difference is the New York Jet offensive line, because you're going to Miami. 41 years after Joe Namath called out the Baltimore Colts, 18-point underdogs, history will repeat itself, and the Jets will go to Super Bowl 44. NFC Championship. Minnesota going down, of course, in the Big Easy. And, again, for all the people who, it seems to me like people are scared to pick Minnesota. It seems like they've been on the fence, striding the fence, saying, hey, it'll be a close game, but I like the Saints. It'll be 31-28. It'll be 27-24. They want to pick Minnesota, but they're scared to pick Minnesota. Let me tell you why you shouldn't be scared. Minnesota, and I mentioned it at the top of the show, is a desperate team. It's now or never for them. They, you talk about win now, you talk about no tomorrow. There's absolutely no tomorrow for Minnesota. Remember that one? Fine. But they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At home, yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which they probably saved Raheem Morris's job with that particular win. So I'm not wrapped up in the Saints' home field advantage. Sure, is it great to be playing at home? Absolutely, but it's not like Brett Favre hasn't played in a dome before. I mean, the guy played 16 years in Green Bay, year in and year out, going against Minnesota, which is just as tough as place to play, in terms of the crowd noise and what have you. Just as tough as the Superdome. I think the Superdome is a little bit better, is a little bit worse because they have more people. But Minnesota is right there. What was Brett Favre's record in his last five games against the Minnesota Vikings as a Packer at Minnesota? 4-1. All right. He's not going to be intimidated. He's not going to... That crowd will not move Brett Favre. I compare Minnesota. I think Minnesota, out of all these four teams, I trust them the most. I think they're the most complete team in football remaining, with a defensive line, with a pretty good offensive line, with the quarterback, decent secondary, good special teams. And forget about these injuries. I mean, Ray Edwards, Percy Harvin, Kevin Williams, all those guys will play. All those guys will play. Unless you heard the guys being either doubtful or out, they're going to play. They have certain types of medicine that can fix that. Trust me. Again, I think this game will be very close. I think this has the makings of being a classic. I'm not in love with the New Orleans run defense. I think Adrian Peterson is going to have a big game. Again, he hasn't rushed for 100 yards since going back to basically the end of October against Detroit. again, that New Orleans run defense to me still is very porous. I think they'll, again, I see some scoring in this game. I think this game will be relatively high scoring. I can see it played in the mid 20s. Maybe it might even reach the 30s, but I like Minnesota 28-24. You know, the Vikings remind me of the 2008 Boston Celtics. That's what they remind me of, a team assembled for 1 year, for a couple of years, a 1 or 2 year window with all this talent and his rates and is desperate to win right now. You think Brett Favre came back to do what? To do Wrangler commercials? Brett Favre came back to add on to what is already a all-time great Hall of Fame legacy. He didn't come back. He came back to win a Super Bowl, period. That's why he wanted to play with Minnesota in 2008. He wanted to win a Super Bowl. And after 2007, he probably never thought he would get another opportunity considering how that game finished and considering, you know, what happened with Green Bay and that whole ordeal. But now I cannot see him coming up short. And remember, he's 3-1 lifetime at the Superdome, had his greatest moment as a football player at the Superdome when he led the Packers, of course, to their third Super Bowl championship back in 1996. Again, both of these games will be close. I'll be shocked if these games reach double digits as far as margin of victory. The Jets have a very little margin for error out of all these teams. The Jets, so I can see if Minnesota falls behind 10-0, 14-0, I think they'll be fine. Jets, not so. Jets, and neither one, truthfully, Indianapolis, I don't think they'll afford to fall behind the Jets with the way the Jets play defense. If that game, if the Jets Indianapolis game gets beyond a touchdown from either perspective, from either team, I think that game will be over. Either way, especially if it's Indianapolis up 10-0 or 14-0. Minnesota, New Orleans, not so much. So, I'll take the Jets with the outright upset, despite the fact that they're a 7.5-point underdog, and I'm taking Minnesota, again, with the outright upset, despite the fact that they're a 3.5-point underdog, I'm up against it, picking both road teams. It rarely happens that both road teams win, but again, I love what I saw last week out of both Minnesota and the Jets, and I like the matchups. And if you ask me which one I have more confidence in, probably have more confidence in certainly in what Minnesota is able to accomplish, will be able to do come Sunday evening. So there you go with the conference championship picks coming up on the Surreal Quinn. Excuse me. On the Saturday morning wake-up call, I am Surreal Quinn. We'll get into a little college basketball for the first time in this new year. Talk a little Georgetown. Also, what's wrong with North Carolina? And we'll get into some baseball as well. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. A couple of NBA finals. First of all, ESPN.com has reported that Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas should know how long he will be suspended by the end of next week. Commissioner David Stern could announce suspensions to both Arenas and guard Jarvis Crittenden as early as Wednesday. Arenas, of course, remains indefinitely suspended from the Washington Wizards. The New York Mets have traded for L.A. Angel outfielder Gary Matthews Jr. The Mets will pay the remainder of Matthews' contract, which is valued at 5 years, $50 million. The remainder of that contract will be at about $21.5 million. Matthews Jr., of course, signed that contract in 2006. In return, the Angels will receive relief pitcher Brian Stokes. In an ESPN interview, former trainer Curtis Wentz claims Mark McGwire took a combination of performance-enhancing drugs that aided McGwire's performance. Winslow says McGwire's goal was to be bigger, faster, and stronger. This contradicts McGwire's claims that he was taking it for to stay healthy. So we'll stay tuned for that. NBA scores. These games just completed on the Golden State, all of New Jersey, 111-79. Phoenix and Chicago are late in the fourth quarter, about 40 seconds or so left in that game. Chicago is on top, 111-101. Scores, games already completed. Boston in overtime over Portland, 98-95. Kevin Garnett returns with 13 points, 4 rebounds in 30 minutes of play. The Lakers, 115. The Knicks, 105. Atlanta, all over Chicago, Charlotte, 103-89. Houston, 116. San Antonio, 109. Orlando, 100. Sacramento, 84. Philadelphia, 92. Dallas, 81. Miami, 112. Washington, 88. Toronto, 101. Milwaukee, 96. Minnesota edges out New Orleans, 96-94. Is your call number. Welcome back to the latest edition of the Wake Up Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 12 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Little college basketball here. Good game. You have a couple of good games on Saturday, beginning with, of course, Texas taking on Connecticut. Texas comes in ranked number one. Of course, they lost earlier in the week to Kansas State, so that rank they will drop, but still good game at UConn. UConn, of course, will be without one Jim Calhoun, who, frankly, should retire. And again, it's hard for me to sit up here and tell a person when to retire, when to retire from something that they love, but Calhoun has had a lot of health issues recently, especially in the past 5 or 6 years. 57 years old. Seth Davis had an excellent article on CNNSI.com about how Calhoun is just absolutely relentless and just can't go no other way but 100%. Full tilt. He can't slow down if he's coaching and it's. For his own sake, it would be smart for Calhoun to quit at the end of the season. He's not going to get any healthier by coaching. That's all. Even if he takes a break, he's supposedly going to come back in 9 or 10 days. So we'll see how that turns out. But again, Connecticut struggling right now. Has lost a couple games. Is on a 3-game losing streak. But they have Texas coming in at Texas at number one. Duke and Clemson, good game here. Clemson playing well. Duke ranked number 6. Duke coming off a loss to NC State. They're at Clemson. Last year, Clemson destroyed Duke at Little John Coliseum. Duke is looking for revenge. Again, that should be a very good game. We'll see if Clemson can knock off Duke and North Carolina, which doesn't happen that often. They already, of course, have their way with North Carolina. And speaking of North Carolina, after getting off to a relatively good start, considering how difficult their schedule was, they beat Ohio State, beat Michigan State, played Kentucky tough, struggled against Texas, but that game was competitive for the most part in Texas. Got killed by Syracuse, but Syracuse is a legitimate championship contender. Right now, North Carolina can beat anybody. I mean, they've lost 3 straight games, lost to College of Charleston. They're second to last in the ACC, and they're right now they're struggling. They're going to struggle to make the tournament. And I did not. Their guards treat the ball like a hot potato. And to me, from a talent standpoint, this team probably has more talent than the team following their last national championship team in 2005-06, when Tyler Hansbrough was a freshman. This team has more talent than that team. But again, the guards cannot take care of the ball, and it's really cost them in the last, throughout the course of the year, but in particular the last 3 games. So we'll see if they can get back on track. Georgetown, big time, big game coming up on Monday. Georgetown at Syracuse. Hopefully both teams take care of business this weekend. Syracuse, Georgetown has Rutgers, so they shouldn't have any problem with that. Other than Duke, North Carolina, when both teams are good, The Georgetown-Syracuse rivalry is as good as it gets in college basketball, especially when both teams are good. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of history with that. Both of those teams are, of course, pioneers in the Big East. You know, Derrick Coleman, Jim Bayon, talking about John Thompson, and Patrick Ewing. So a lot of history with those two teams, and that would be a great game come Monday night. And speaking of Georgetown, Greg Monroe has been catching some heat lately in regards to the Georgetown sophomore center, in regards to, you know, is he going to ever live up to his potential? Is he going to ever be a dominant player? You know, I just want to let everybody in, especially Georgetown fans, on his little secret. Every 7-footer, or guy that's close to 7-foot, that commits to Georgetown and signs, you know, commits to play at Georgetown, is not going to be Patrick Ewing. Probably not going to be Lonzo Mourning, and more than likely, it's not going to be Dikembe Mutombo. I mean, the guy is averaging 14 points, almost 15 points and 10 rebounds, and he's only a sophomore. It takes big men longer to develop. I mean, give me a break. Right, now you want him to be, he's supposed to be Shaquille O'Neal. And to me, Monroe has played very well of late. It's really picked it up. But you know, some of these articles about his potential. What exactly is his potential? Is he going to be supposed to be a dominant player? He's not a dominant college. He'll never be a dominant player at the college or at the pro level. I mean, he can have a. I think he'll be, you know, if he plays his cards right, I think he could be a legitimate top 15, maybe even top 10 pick, considering that there are not a lot of big men. But I think he'll have a very good career. I think he'll be better than Othello Harrington. You know, and a lot of people gave that tag to Othello Harrington. Oh, in the mold of the great classic Georgetown center. No, and that wasn't the deal. Othello Harrington, despite the fact that he was a McDonald's All-American, was never going to be that kind of player. Now, again, I think Monroe has more talent, but Monroe, to me, does not come off as a guy, as far as from a talent standpoint, who's going to ever be a dominant player, who's ever like that. I don't think Monroe will ever even be an all-star in the NBA. I think he'll have a very good career. I think he could be like an Andrew Bogut type, have that kind of career. He'll put up some decent numbers, but he's never going to be. I think Monroe's not a franchise player. So again, look forward to some couple of college basketball games. As really college basketball is going to come to the forefront. Once the NFL is over, and we can, you can get over the fact that the NFL is over, that's going to be, that'll be very difficult. The college basketball will come to the forefront. Still to come on this latest edition, in the last segment of the Saturday morning wake-up call, we'll get into a little bit of baseball, why you should be nervous if you're a San Francisco Giant fan, and we'll also bring it back to the top conference championship weekend in the NFL. We'll talk about that and still much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, here's the update. ESPN.com reports that Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas should know how long he will be suspended by the end of next week at the latest. Commissioner David Stern could announce suspensions to both Arenas and Jarvis Crittenden as early as Wednesday. The New York Mets have traded for Los Angeles Angel outfielder Gary Matthews Jr. The Mets will pick up the remainder of Matthews' contract, which will be around $21.5 million. Of course, Matthews, of course, has signed the deal back in 2006. The Angels will receive relief pitcher Brian Stokes in return. ESPN interview reports that former trainer Curtis Winslow claims that Mark McGwire took a combination of performance-enhancing drugs that aided McGwire's performance. Winslow says that McGwire's goal was to be bigger, faster, and stronger. This contradicts McGwire in saying that he took steroids in order to stay healthy. NBA scores. Game already completed. Golden State all over New Jersey, 111-79. Chicago's all over Phoenix won. Chicago defeats Phoenix. As I flash up the score here, 115-104. The Boston in overtime over Portland, 98-95. Kevin Garnett comes back from after missing 10 games. Comes back 13 points, 4 rebounds in 30 minutes of play. The Lakers 115, the Knicks 105. Atlanta all over Charlotte 103-89. Houston 116, San Antonio 109. Orlando 100, Sacramento 84. Philadelphia 92, Dallas 81. Miami 112, Washington 88. Toronto 101, Milwaukee 96, Minnesota edges out New Orleans 96-94. Welcome back to the final segment of the Saturday morning wake up call. 22 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, chime in. Talk conference championships in the NFL, Minnesota at New Orleans, and then New York Football Jets at Indianapolis. Indianapolis and the Jets will be the 3 p.m. game. Minnesota, New Orleans is in that late window, and they should kick off at around 6:40. If you are the New York Giants, the San Francisco Giants, as I transition towards a little baseball here. You are playing a dangerous game messing around with Tim Lincecum. Earlier this week, Lincecum, of course, filed for arbitration and wants $13 million in terms of in arbitration. The Giants are only willing to offer Lincecum $8 million. Listen, I understand the record for a pitcher is $4.35 million. But when you talk about Tim Lincecum, you're talking about the best young pitcher in all of baseball, one of the two or three best pitchers in all of baseball, 25 years old, already has two Cy Youngs. Give him his money. I mean, do you really want to tick this guy off and have him waiting for free agency? Or have him go 22-3 next year and then probably get $20 million in arbitration? Sign into a long-term deal similar to what Felix Hernandez signed. 5 years, $78 million, and don't even go through this if you're San Francisco. You cannot play around with this guy. He's too good. He's too good of a pitcher. You can't play around. You can't be cheap if you're a Giants, especially considering the fact that you gave Barry Zito $127 million, and even Barry Zito at his absolute best was never Tim Lincecum. Not even close. So the Giants, I mean, this guy, he's one of these once in every generation type pitchers. He's that good. It'll be very interesting to see what they do with that. Of course, I mentioned Felix Hernandez signing with Seattle. And it's good for Seattle, good for baseball that Felix Hernandez does not end up in Boston or New York or any other big markets. In terms of big market cities, I know Seattle has a big payroll, but I'm glad that he stays with Seattle. Again, he signs for 5 years, $78 million, a great, good contract for him. Again, 23 years old, he takes the money, and will become a free agent at the age of 28. Which he'll probably, if he keeps pitching the way he's pitching, he'll probably rival the contract that one CC Sabathia signed for $161 million. He's that good of a pitcher. It was 19-5 last year. And just one thing before I get back to before I close out and get back to the conference championship games, I made a big time mistake last week not bringing up the catastrophe down in Haiti. Again, a oversight that just is inexcusable. So it's a bad job by me. There's this idea that the American Cross and Yearly are the only places that you can go to as far as donating money or whatever. Not the case. You have a ton of other organizations like UNICEF, Partners in Health, CARE, Operation USA, just to name a few. So you can check those organizations out over on the internet, I'm sure, and they will provide you with some more specific details as far as what to call addresses and things of that nature again. Just a terrible job on my part not bringing that up, bringing that up, and we certainly keep our thoughts and prayers with those with the people in Haiti because they had another earthquake earlier this week, which I don't know how you can call another. I don't know how you can call an earthquake 6.1 an aftershock. I mean, yeah, to me, an aftershock is 3.2, 1.25, something like that. That's not an aftershock. That's another earthquake. So, you know, hopefully things can turn around there as soon as possible with that. Again, conference championship weekend in the NFL. But I'm looking forward to these games. I really think you're going to have two excellent games. I think Minnesota-New Orleans is going to be a classic. A lot on the line. I mean, Favre and Manny are at the forefront, especially Favre. Like, you know Manny's going to be back next year and may be in a similar position. Favre, not so sure. It's now or never for Minnesota. Again, if you didn't hear my picks, I like Minnesota to win a close game, and I also like the Jets to win a close game. Remember one thing about the big defense. I mean, Tampa Bay, Oakland in the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay, the Rams in the Super Bowl year that the Rams won the Super Bowl. Remember, that game was 11. That was an 11-6 AFC Championship, and the Tampa Bay, frankly, outplayed the Rams, if not for that Burt Manuel incomplete pass that was a catch that as they end up changing the rule. Who knows how that game would have turned out. The big defense has came up in these games, Baltimore, Oakland a couple of years ago. So, again, both games should be close. I like the Jets, like Minnesota to meet in Miami. One thing for sure, again, history has proven that one of the road teams will get the job done in advance. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. And I will be back certainly next week to talk about, to preview the Super Bowl a little bit. I'm not going to get heavy into the Super Bowl because we'll still have another week. We'll have two, four weeks before the Super Bowl. So we'll talk a little. We'll kind of recap the conference championships a little bit and get a little bit into the Super Bowl. Not too much, but I'll be looking forward to it. I will see you next week on Blog Talk Radio. Again, you can follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. And again, our call number is 347-215-6180. I will see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Also enjoy the upcoming week. So long.